Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verses 1 through 4, and verses 12 through 28. As I read these ancient words, listen for something new being spoken into your life and your heart at this particular point on your journey of faith. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, let's start with the game today. That'll help limber up our minds a little bit. So help wake us up. It's a very simple game. We've played it before, and you know it well. And the way it works is this. I will list some items, and then you try to figure out what holds all the items together. You know, are you ready? Well, let's just try one. We'll start with a very easy one. Here we go. Baltimore, Boston, New York. That's not all. Don't jump to conclusions. 714, Murderers Row, Sultan of Swat. Got it? What? George Herman? That's it. Babe Ruth. Okay, too easy. How about this one? Hodgenville, Kentucky, number 16, Illinois, Tall Hat. J.W. Booth? Yep, Abraham Lincoln. Very good. Okay, how about this one? It's a little bit more difficult. Salad, birth, Rome, dagger. Any ideas? How about Julius Caesar? Huh, a little bit more tricky. Okay, how about this one? Virtual worship, Zoom meetings, no fun. Oh, how about Pleasant Grove during a pandemic? Here we go. Here's the final one. Ogden, Utah, Allen, Jay, Merrill, and Wayne. How about the Andy Williams show? Does that help? Okay, two more hints. How about Marie? Go away, little girl. Oh, come on. Donny Osmond. Come on, you knew that. All right, okay. Enough of that. Last week, Ellie Wilson read the Old Testament lesson for us. Now, I didn't talk about it last week, but you remember it, right? Sure. Genesis 32, the story of Jacob wrestling with God. Now, remember, the Jacob story is part of a much bigger narrative, in Genesis, a narrative that recounts the natal story of Judaism as it recounts the story of the patriarchs. Okay, let's review this, shall we? The patriarchs of ancient Israel. Come on. Now, you may need this for Jeopardy one day, so pay attention a little bit. How about this one? Here they are. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Donnie. I get so confused. Anyway, it always seems to happen that when the Minnicks go on vacation, there's a movie that becomes the movie of that vacation. We just watch it over and over again. And then I remember it. Oh, yeah, I remember last year this movie. The last year movie was this. We used to take a VCR and a tape, and then it moved to DVDs. Now we stream it. But there's usually a movie. For example, I remember Elmo and Grouchland. I think we're the only people that ever watched that movie. But I can picture where we were when we did watch that. Kids' Songs. You remember that? Technically, it's not a movie. I think it was maybe a PBS show. But anyway, it became a vacation movie for us. Or The Bridge. It's A Bridge to Terabithia, I think it maybe is the title of it. And how about Nanny McPhee? You know, Mary Poppins on steroids or something. Anyway, on and on and on. Well, one year, the vacation movie for us turned out to be the movie Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Have you ever heard of that one? Well, if you don't, you can borrow it. In fact, it may be around here somewhere if I looked a little bit. Anyway, it stars Donny Osmond. Okay, good. As Joseph. It's hard for me to watch because I knew Donny way back when. You know, it's hard for me to take Puppy Love Boy very seriously, especially as a patriarch of ancient Israel. But anyway, but I do have to admit that the video does give you the story of Joseph in a very entertaining way. So if you don't know the story of Joseph and you don't feel like reading it in Genesis, well, watch Donnie. Okay. So anyway, last week we read about Jacob, the God wrestler. We talked about Jacob before. Over and over again. He's the archetype, right? Sure. I'm Jacob. You are Jacob. We struggle, we wrestle day in and day out with what it means to be creatures of a gracious God. What it means to be a follower of the one named Jesus. What it means to be the hands, the ears, the eyes, the body of Christ in the world. What it means to be the church. We wrestle with that. What it means to be face to face with God and the least valued members of our society. I'm Jacob. You are Jacob. And like good old Jacob, we need a blessing in the midst of this strife called life. A blessing that will change us fundamentally. A blessing that will change us from casual observers of the faith we proclaim to proactive participants. A blessing that will change us from Jacob to Israel. From Saul to Paul. Friends, the point is that when you finish wrestling with God, you're never the same. That's impossible. Go back and reread the Jacob story from last week. Genesis chapter 32, 22 to 31. Okay. Anyway, this week, the story moves on to the next generation. Today, we move on to Joseph. Do you know the story of Joseph? It begins in chapter 37 and runs to the very close of the book of Genesis, chapter 50. Now, personally, I feel like everyone knows this story inside and out. Let me just give you the Cliff Notes version of the story. Joseph is the favorite son of Jacob. You know, Jacob the wrestler. He's one of the 12 brothers from whom we get the 12 tribes of Israel, the names of those tribes. And because Joseph is Jacob's favorite, He is showered with special privileges and gifts, and his brothers resent this fact. You know, one day Jacob gives his favorite son a very special garment, a coat, and thus the title, Amazing Technicolor Dream Coat. And so, when I grew up, I think we called this the coat of many colors. Do you remember that? Okay, good. Well, as you can imagine, this gift really ticks off his brothers, and ultimately, they conspire to kill him. Well, just as they're about to carry out their treachery, their eldest brother, Reuben, intercedes on Joseph's behalf. So instead of just killing Joseph, they decide, oh, we'll just sell him into slavery. The Ishmaelites, who buy Joseph, then transport him to Egypt, and there they sell him to Potiphar, second in, I guess, in command to Pharaoh, officer of Pharaoh. And then through a very interesting turn of events, Joseph ascends to the second highest position in the entire Egyptian government. In time, a great famine hits the ancient Near East, but through Joseph's leadership and administrative skills, the people of Egypt are saved. Then during the famine, Jacob and his remaining 11 sons make their way to Egypt and are reunited with Joseph. And everybody lives happily ever after. Close of the book of Genesis. It's a great story. It's a classic story. The theme running throughout Joseph's life is, or there is a theme running through Joseph's life. And you know what I'm talking about? Hey, if you read it, it's obvious. If you really pay attention, or if you don't even pay attention, it's pretty clear. The theme running throughout Joseph's life, dreams. Dreams. Joseph was a dreamer. Okay, let me ask, are you a dreamer? Are you a dreamer? I read somewhere that everybody dreams. Maybe some of us don't remember that we dream. Now, I find that interesting. I wonder how they know that. I don't know. Anyway, do you remember Sigmund Freud? Well, probably not. He died in 1939. But anyway, his book, Interpretation of Dreams, was published in 1900. And in that book, Freud had a lot to say about the symbolism of dreams and the subconscious reality that they reveal. And then the book changed the way dreams were understood and are understood to this very day. You know, dreams are significant, no doubt about it. Are you a dreamer? Are you a dreamer? In the ancient world, it was thought that there was more to dreams than just maybe psychological baggage. You know, to people in the ancient Near East, and probably in the ancient world in general, dreams were mysterious. Dreams were mystical. Dreams represented liminal moments in which the dreamer was suspended between the realm of the sacred and the realm of the profane. Dreams were pathways through which holiness could break into this world. And because of this, it was very important to pay close attention to your dreams. Joseph was a dreamer. He had a dream. He interpreted dreams. Dreams got him into a lot of trouble, almost cost him his life. And it was dreaming that propelled his life into the realm of greatness. Okay, think about the story. Dreams were the source of his brother's murderous hatred. Dreams led them to contemplate murder and ultimately sell Joseph into slavery. Dreams led to Joseph's release from prison when it seemed that he was destined to die there. Dreams led to Joseph's quick rise to the position of prime minister of Egypt. And dreams led to Egypt's preparation for famine that would have destroyed the great country. Dreams hold everything together in the Joseph story. Joseph was a dreamer. He dreamed of what could be. And his life was empowered by such God-given possibilities. Okay. Have you ever known dreamers? Have you known anyone that you would describe as a dreamer? Sure you have. Think about it. Dreamers stand out from the crowd, don't they? They are a little bit weird a lot of times, a little bit eccentric. They're unique, no doubt about it. And they're absolutely essential to the functioning of this world because their dreams are the key to life. They can see things. They can see new possibilities that no one else can see. They're able to look at the world in unique ways and ask questions that others never conceive. They're able to inspire greatness in themselves and in others. Friends, we need dreamers, especially at times like this. Now, they make us a bit uneasy, we have to admit. But you know, without them, we would be in some serious trouble. George Bateson once wrote, "The world comes to be how it is imagined." The world comes to be how it is imagined. In other words, how it is dreamed. Dreaming is critically important, folks, because it envisions the way our world could be, and then it beckons us toward that vision, toward that dream. Well, given this fact, how is it that dreamers seem to be such a rare breed? In fact, most people go their entire lives without doing any serious dreaming. Why is that? Why are dreamers so scarce? Real dreamers. Well, I'll tell you why dreamers are scarce. Because dreaming is dangerous business, right? Sure, it's risky. It's risky because the world doesn't like dreamers, right? It never has and it never will. Time and time again, it does its best to eliminate them, to kill their dreams and to squelch their visions. And it's risky because dreaming disrupts the status quo. And it leads us to places we never intended to go. In so doing, it just might fundamentally change our lives, and that's some scary stuff. Do you know any dreamers? Do you know any individuals who think outside the box and try and dream of new possibilities amid the mundane routine? Do you know people who are never satisfied with the way things are? People who can always see something better, something bolder coming along. You know, maybe we should call them visionaries rather than dreamers. Do you know any of these folks? Do you know any dreamers? Sure you do. Sure you do. Are you a dreamer? Or maybe a dreamer waiting to happen? Sure you are. Back in March, we were trucking along just fine. We were a couple weeks into Lent, and we were making plans for Easter. We're about to have our stewardship commitment Sunday. But then something happened. A pandemic happened. And what we thought was going to be a two-week hiccup turned into a months-long foray into the unknown. Friends, our world has been reshaped. And we're not quite sure what to do about it. From jobs to school to recreation, everything is different now. Even church. And you know what that means, right? You know what we have to do, right? We have to do a little dreaming. Folks have had to envision and dream new ways of doing work over these past few months. They've had to envision and dream new ways of doing school. And we're still trying to do that. New ways of recreating. You know, I had never heard of Zoom before March. Now it's part of my life every single day. Friends, we now need to dream new ways of doing church. But that shouldn't be a problem, right? Because here at Pleasant Grove, we're a congregation of dreamers. It's required for church membership. Did you know that? This place is full of dreamers. That's what makes us so unique. Our dreamers are all those folks who desperately want their lives to be meaningful. And they want their church to be what it is called to be, a community in which our lives and God's life collide. In other words, a place where lives are changed. You know, Proverbs 29:18a in the King James Version, don't look at the King James Version, reads this way: "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And that's it. Without a vision, without a dream, an individual church or individual will die. Friends, many churches are dying as we speak. What is your dream? What is your dream? What is your dream for your life? What is your dream for your church? You know, what is God calling you to do with your life in this community? Now, you remember our mission statement. Our dream is a very simple one. We exist to be the body of Christ in the world. You know, the summer is drawing to a close, and the fall is nearly here. And we've had a lot of downtime, like we do every summer. But now a new season of ministry is upon us. A new world is upon us. And just because we have a pandemic going on doesn't mean that we can shirk our membership responsibilities, our membership vows, to support the ministry of our church, this community, with our prayers, our virtual presence, our gifts, and our service. No, in fact, this is a perfect time for the church to be the church. Our community needs us. The world needs us. And we need to seize this moment. You know, your church needs you. Needs all of you to dream with us. You know, too often we sit back and we say, well, let someone else do it. Maybe you say this out of a feeling of inadequacy. You just don't believe you can do it. You can do it. The time has come to dream dreams and then work for those dreams. What is God's dream for you? Joseph's brothers tried to kill him, right? Sure. They tried to kill the dream by killing the dreamer. But God was with Joseph. And his vision and dreams were realized. God is with us. And if we truly believe in ourselves, in this church, in this community, and in the work we're doing here, nothing can stop us. Nothing can kill our dream to be a church that is open to all. One that strives to nurture hurting souls. And one that attempts to offer the love of God to the world. You know, in the book of Genesis, we're introduced to the patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The patriarchs are the archetypes of faith. You know, the faith process. We hear the call in whatever way that is received in our individual lives. And we realize that it is a call to a greater depth of life than we are currently experiencing. So like Abraham, we go. And the call takes us to places where we would never have gone on our own. And like Jacob, we wrestle with ourselves and with God, and we refuse to let go until God offers us a blessing. Even if that blessing leaves us and our lives a little bit disjointed. You know, read last week's text. And it is in this wrestling that ultimately, like Joseph, we find a God-sized dream for our lives, and then we spend that life living out that dream in a community such as this. Bottom line, friends, we need you to tell us your dreams here at Pleasant Grove. And then, together, we can live into those dreams. Go watch the movie. And then come dream with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.